shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar, excited to be reviewing a movie I saw in the theaters in 1991.
One, yeah.
Question mark. Okay. All right. That makes sense. This would have been probably one of the first R-rated movies that I actually was seeing and did not have to, like, you know, sneak into, or, you know, kind of like use covert means where I could just, like, go see the movie. I don't know if I was 17, but I was close enough that I actually remember going to see this, like, and not being like, ugh, I want...
Wait till you hear how I was when I saw this movie.
I know. Oh, yeah.
He also saw it in the theater.
I know. Yeah.
Very close to it.
Yeah, I'm terrified by that. Joined this week, as always, by Cody Wolf.
I am so excited to be talking about this movie. I've been waiting to talk about this one for...
This is two weeks in a row, or two shows in a row, where we're talking about a movie that you own and watch regularly.
Yes. Well, yeah. That's why I do watch regularly. At least once a year I watch this one.
Yeah.
But I've been waiting, because we did, I don't know if you remember, we did like a mini episode our first like year.
Yes.
Where we talked about guilty pleasure movies, and this was one of my guilty pleasure movies I talked about.
That's right.
So I've been waiting since then.
Jack Estabrook?
I got nothing. I really got nothing.
I've never seen you speechless before.
I know. Wow. All right.
I think can you even say hi?
Hi!
Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
There he is.
I'm Jack.
This movie has subdued Jack into not having things to say.
He was falling asleep.
Oh, no.
You need more notice. Yes.
Christy Smorrell.
I have so many questions.
I'm going to answer all of them.
So many questions.
All legitimate. And Nick Newark.
I have so many snarky comments.
Yeah. All so legitimate. Yeah. I feel like we should give a little background on Freddy's Dead.
Yes.
This was the sixth Nightmare on Elm Street movie. And I feel like we have to kind of set the stage for what was happening in the American pop culture at this time, where somehow, inexplicably, Freddy Krueger, a horror character who massacres people with blades on his glove.
Not just people, children.
Children. Yes. A child killer... had become a everywhere in pop culture. Like, you used to walk into, like, Walgreens, and it would be loaded with Freddy Krueger merchandise. Yeah. I don't...
Yeah, there was I think it was the 80s, Freddy's Nightmares, which is basically, like, Tales from the Crypt with Freddy as the Crypt Keeper, the storyteller, whatever, too. I don't know if that was a huge show or anything, but that was another...
It was noted, but there were toys. We have several of the toys on the table with us. Yes. There's a Matchbox car. These were aimed at
Cody has
children.
Decorated for today.
You have to remember, there were also RoboCop action figures back then.
This is the one time where it'd be great to do a video podcast just to show all of the stuff that Cody has.
I have more that I didn't set up.
I think it's a testament to Robert Englund and how he really... I've always been very impressed on how he just created this character and made him his own. And that old school... I guess he's old school now, but that old school boogeyman where, like, you know, the Frankenstein monster and the Wolfman, and, you know, now it's Freddy, right? And Freddy's always Robert Englund. If it's not Robert Englund, it's not right. And he relishes the role.
I mean, has there been another slasher series where the killer, who's been consistent throughout, has been played by the same actor throughout?
Well, I was thinking...
Wolfman was always Lon Chaney Jr.
You've got to go back to Universal.
We have to go back to Universal.
Well, up until recently, Hellraiser... Doug Bradley was Pinhead up until a couple years ago. They started using someone else. But what are you saying, Chris?
I was going to say, not being someone that watches much in the way of horror movies, to me, I think of, like, Michael Myers and Jason. And as far as I know, it doesn't even matter who plays them because you never ever see their face. The Scream movies, which aren't really the same vein but a spoof of them, it's always a different killer. Mm. So for me, this is the only one I can think of where we actually see the villain every time, let alone have it be the same actor.
Yeah.
Just have personality.
And he's really, in any Nightmare on Elm Street movie, he is the delight, you know. He's the reason why you watch the movie.
Well, and Cody and Jack, maybe, I guess you're better versed in this, can explain a little bit of it. At some point in the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, they made a little bit of a pivot to where they stopped, like, things got a little more one-liner-y, and they kind of, like, leaned into it.
I would say
in part three, they start with the one-liners. Part three is a probably my favorite one. Well, the first one is my favorite. Part three is my favorite sequel.
Yeah.
Because it's still scary. It's still, you know, it's a really great movie. But that's where they start kind of with the one-liners. Like, when he kills someone, it's like a James Bond one-liner. Yeah. Then part four is just full-on pop culture. Like, it's still kind of, you know, it's still, it's not like this, where this is cartoonish and not scary at all. It's still kind of scary, and they do the horror thing. But that's when he's doing the full-on...
I might take issue with that later because
with what
I didn't find this to be the least bit scary. There was
no. That's what I'm saying. This one's not scary. Part four they were still doing. Yeah, in part four that it was still a horror movie, but he was doing the one liners more often and more goofy kills and stuff like that. So that was kind of where it really. So then four and five were like the big, you know, the one liner Freddy, and then this one they were like, okay, let's kill him off.
As I watched the end credits, which is the montage of. All the other, I was assuming all the other Freddy movies, I thought, well, this is very different.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the scenes from the montage seemed genuinely scary. This one, not.
Yeah, up until this one, they were all, you know, like, because part five.
And creative. The kills weren't really creative in this movie.
Part five is like really gothic, and it's there's some scary stuff in that. And then this one is full on cartoon, which is part of the reason why I like it, because it's something different and it's something.
This movie
stands in its own universe, basically.
It does. Well, they had, like, put themselves on a road to this movie. Like, almost, it became inevitable. Because, like, public pop culture pressure was, like, kind of pushing for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember any of the sequels in between. I can only remember the first Nightmare on Elm Street and this one.
Mm-hmm.
And the distance between those two movies.
Well, yeah, it's a gradual, yeah. But this one takes a big jump.
After this movie, like, I kind of looked at my wife and I said, it's, like... Roger Rabbit, but more cartoonish and less scary.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly, it's...
And I think that's why, again, I like it, is because I like cartoon versions of horror stuff. Like, growing up, I watched, like, the Beetlejuice cartoon, the Tales from the Crypt cartoon, Tales from the Crypt Keeper, you know, that kind of stuff I always liked as a kid, and I saw this movie as a kid, so this is, like, the cartoon version of the scary thing.
How old were you when you saw this movie?
Well, I saw it, I'm pretty sure, when it came out on VHS, so that would have been 91 or 92.
That would have been like 19... Yeah,
so I was
92.
4 or 5, yeah.
What? Wow. That's crazy! Yes.
But I remember asking to watch this movie. My father, as we know from this podcast, is a big horror movie fan.
Yeah.
I remember asking to watch this movie, but only because I thought, at that age, I didn't know the difference between Freddy and Chucky. I thought Chucky was called Freddy, and I wanted to see a Chucky movie for some reason, just because it was a doll, probably.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to see this Freddy movie, So my father said, okay, and he rented it. I was literally 5 or 6 years, or maybe 4 or 5 years old, and I remember watching it, and I remember not being scared, I think.
Yeah, that's understandable, yeah.
But then, as a side note, he also had a making of VHS, which I still have here, of Part 4 that I watch over and over again as a kid, too. And that was like me watching a Nightmare on Elm Street movie. So that, it started very young for me with Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
But I think that's why I still like this one, because I watched it when I was so young, and it just kind of stuck with me.
Things attach to you when you're a child. Right. When you see them in youth, it really does happen.
Well, this movie is so, at times, so aware that it's not a horror movie.
Yeah.
At other times, it seems to be trying to be a horror movie, but at times, it seems to just be like, oh yeah, no, we know what we're doing.
And it's basically like Army of Darkness is to Evil Dead, where Evil Dead is this horrifying horror movie, and then Army of Darkness, two movies later, is this action comedy.
Yeah, but Army of Darkness is good. It doesn't disappoint. Like, this movie, I mean, is just kind of like... I love
Army of Darkness, but it's goofy compared to...
Yeah, but Army of Darkness is an amazing movie.
I love Army of Darkness.
This is a movie that I would say... I found it like a letdown, because I've only seen 1, 2, and Freddy v. Jason. Those are the only ones I've seen.
Okay. So,
and this one, I see it, and...
I thought you couldn't say versus the SAV. To save yourself half a second.
Because it's cool. That's what the kids are talking
these
days.
It's a landmark case, okay?
So, Freddy v. Jason.
F.V. Jason.
The precedence that's
set. I thought that... This would be more fun, but I thought it would also be more scary. I thought it was more dull, and I thought it was more corny.
Except for
one kill. There was one kill in the movie that I really didn't like.
I think some of that is, and we'll get into this a little bit, I have a theory that this was two scripts melded into one, because the movie makes some adjustments and not hard turns, but like the movie at the end is a different movie. Like, it's sort of like...
Yeah, yeah.
The Yaphet Kotto movie seems to be a different movie than the movie that has Breckenmeyer in it.
Right.
I hope one of those movies explains anything.
Yeah.
Because being someone that has not seen... I said before, I think I saw Freddy v. Jason.
Thank you.
But All I remember is a lake and some fire. So I remember nothing. Like, so going into this, I knew Freddy Krueger kills people in their dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do not understand the rules at all. Like, what are
Freddy's rules? Well, this movie makes up new rules. I'll say that.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of new rules.
He manipulates the real world quite a bit.
Yeah. So that was one of my questions. What kind of power does he have in the real world? Because, like, that the house lured them in and exploded. The van couldn't get out of the town. But he couldn't get out of the town. And when they pull him into the real world, he kind of seems to have powers but can't heal himself.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know if I should explain now or as we go along.
Well, let's explain as we go along. But I can throw in all my questions as we go along. I have a lot of the same questions on that.
Let's just jump.
And, all right. I'll just sit back and answer all your questions.
One other question that I'll get more into later on. But were any of these people in any other Freddy movies?
No. Robert Englund.
Except for Jonathan Depp.
Well, Johnny
Depp made a cameo.
Yeah.
Okay, so then...
That was a high point in the movie. Yeah. I will admit, I like that.
Now, each movie basically starts over with new... There's a couple that carry over into, like, from 3 and 4 and then 4 to 5, but mostly it's like a new batch of... So, it's like one survivor and then a new batch of...
But none of these people survived a previous Freddy movie?
No.
Then this is why I feel like I was in an Amityville situation where I'm missing scenes.
Because this movie starts off... I'll segue into the beginning of the movie... We're 11 minutes in.
Yeah.
With basically Springwood, there's no kids left. All the kids are gone. So there's no one left from any of the movies because he's wiped out everybody. Yep. Which is a new development because in the last one, you know, he kills some kids. He always kills some kids and then kill him, kills more, and you know. But this one, he's wiped out the whole town apparently. And it takes place at some distant date in the future. I'm not sure. It was like 10 years in the future or something like that. So in the intervening time, he'd kill all the kids. So Springwood is just this weird Twin Peaksy town with just adults.
Yeah. I forgot about the 10 years from now. That makes one thought later on even worse.
It is. They actually even reference Twin Peaks at one point. Yes, there's a Twin Peaks joke, which felt very on the nose.
Yeah. Which if this was 10 years, well, I guess it's big again.
We
now,
still make
so
Twin
maybe,
Peaks jokes.
Yeah. So I guess they were dead on with that one. But but it starts with this kid on an airplane. And he's, like, freaking out because there's, like, weird stuff happening on the airplane. He's, like, afraid of flying or whatever. And there's, like, a thunderstorm outside, and he's freaking out. And then...
He falls out the bottom
of the plane. Well, first, a little girl pops up and says, he won't let you leave or something like that.
Right.
And then something happens. Like, the person sitting next to him gets sucked out of the plane, and then he falls out of the plane, right?
Yeah.
This is a nightmare. You know this nightmare.
Right.
And
then he, like, wakes up in a house, but then the house is falling, like, to the ground.
It's like a nightmare within a nightmare within a nightmare.
Yeah. I was okay with this opening because, again, I mean, I'm someone who's terrified of being up high and is terrified of falling. So in terms of Freddy torturing someone in a dream who has that phobia, that made sense.
Right.
So these first couple minutes, I'm on board. Yeah.
It was shot like a Warner Brothers cartoon.
It was.
That's where you kind of get the feel of what it's going to be at this point.
I feel bad for the stunt guy that had to fall down that hill for like 3 miles.
The rolling was pretty intense.
That was definitely, we're at 88 minutes. Can we get to 90?
There's one point you can tell he's like done rolling, but then he like gets up and like another tumble. He's like, I got to get going.
And we do see they also kind of set the table in that you see Freddy appears as the Wicked Witch of the West, and it's kind of like okay, so that's
now kind of going a little overboard.
Yeah, all right. So we're getting a comedy Freddy movie.
That's what
Got
it is.
Yeah,
I accept it.
And what happens? Oh, it's like something like
so he ends up getting on a bus.
Right.
He ends up getting hit by a bus.
That's right.
That's driven by Freddy.
That's right.
And Freddy like. Drives him out of the dream or something, like breaks reality or breaks into reality or something, and you see the kid go rolling into the street, and then Freddy's like, "Go fetch" or something like that. He's like sending him off on, which he's done before. He's used kids to bring other kids to him or whatever.
Right.
So this kid falls out of his dream, is in the middle of the road, and he's hit his head, so now he can't remember who he is or where he's from or whatever. He just knows like there's something after him.
Yeah.
And he's the last of. Something
and he gets brought to like a
it's like a halfway home or a
yeah
home like for troubled kids
home for troubled kids
yeah
yeah which is filled with a collection of oddball characters, including a young Breckenmeyer.
Which is this is what I know for every time I see Breckenmeyer, I'm like, it's the kid from Nightmare on Elm Street. Mm-hmm. From
his intro is harsh because his dad is his dad is literally like, I will leave you here. And I was like, whoa. Like, I don't know how that's supposed to motivate him to do better.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah, you get his characters, he and his dad don't get along. His dad's like a yuppie kind of guy, and he wants him to be like him.
And Breckenmeyer is a stoner like he is in every movie.
Right.
Yes.
So that kind of sets up his character.
And this seems to be, this Home for Troubled Youth seems to be really troubled, because pretty quickly another employee comes out with a pipe bomb and goes, oh man, I've been confiscating stuff like this all week. And I'm like, whoa, you've been confiscating pipe bombs all week?
But then he says, I gotta go put it with the rest, or I gotta go put it with the arsenal.
Chekhov's arsenal.
Yes. Yes,
of course.
I
also kept expecting the construction going on in the building to play a part later on.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was watching it again this time. I was like, why is there... There's like, just construction going on everywhere. There's like sheets hanging off. I don't know if it was just to make the set look...
Yeah, I don't know if that way they were trying to...
They could get away with less set or something, but...
Yeah, saving money.
They're actually just still building the set. Like, screw it. Shoot around.
But I also thought that the security guard that opened the gate in the very beginning was going to come back, because for a split second I thought it was Christian Bale. So I kept thinking maybe he would come back, but apparently not. So I don't think it was Christian Bale.
How old would Christian Bale have been back then?
He would have been a teenager.
Yeah.
He would have been,
14, 15.
Yeah, he would have been right on.
It's a young security guard.
Yeah, right between Empire of the Sun and Newsies.
Yeah, too busy on Newsies.
Yeah.
We find out that the kid we saw in the beginning has been awake for 3 weeks. But with still amnesia.
I thought he said three days.
He said three days,
and whoever was examining said it seems more like 3 weeks.
Oh, seems like 3 weeks. Okay.
He's like fried.
That's the thing about amnesia.
You would know, man.
We get my favorite line in the movie, which maybe we could do a line reading of if someone can ask me. The doc, Lisa Zane plays like a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone wants to ask me where I'm from.
Where are you from, Alex?
I don't know!
Very defensive about his
amnesia. Yeah, very defensive about not knowing where he's
coming
from.
Coming in hot.
Yeah. I feel like
that actor just kept the intensity at like an 11 the entire time.
Yeah, he was
something else.
It was something he couldn't walk it back. Like, once he escalated, there was like a backstop where it was like, that's it. Is this where we get the weird dream where he sees himself?
Right around here.
But he's also aware that he can't go to sleep, right? Is that the thing?
He doesn't want to go to sleep because he doesn't know what's going on,
but he knows something bad.
He's aware that something. Like, he says like, "Oh, I know, if I go to sleep, that I'll die." Is basically what he says. I just know that I'll die if I go to sleep. But then he goes to sleep. He just falls asleep.
Yeah.
But I think it's here, because he's got, so in that scene where he yells, I don't know, at her, he, or at some point, Lisa Zane sees that he has this clipping of a newspaper article.
Right.
And she recognizes from a recurring dream that she has like a water tower in the background. Right. But that she doesn't know what that's from.
Right.
So that's like the only clue as to like where he's from or whatever. So then he falls asleep. And I'm trying to think, because
this is the weird one where the security guard, where Freddie, he's asleep and being manipulated by Freddie, but he is doing things in the real world to his dream.
One of the new rules in this movie is.
But this is, so one of my questions, what happens to the physical body during this dream? Because sometimes the physical body moved, other times it didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Only, I'm trying to think of, because I know like in part three there's a moment where a character is being moved by Freddy in the dream and he's moving in real life. And he's caused to like jump off a building. But that character is known as a sleepwalker in the movie. So it's like, so they all think it's like a sleepwalker.
That is also the one where he kind of uses him like a marionette, right?
As the puppet,
it kind of plays into the dream at least on that one.
But you see shots of him walking through the halls of the hospital that he's in like he's a marionette, like in real life.
Okay.
And I think that's really the... I'm trying to think of other times when that kind of thing happened, but in this movie, it seems like any time a character is being manipulated in the dream, they're also moving around in real life.
But not every time.
Definitely, but not well, because
there's an... Well, yeah, the Breckenmeyer stuff just was idiotic. But the other times, like when John... Later on, when he goes into the dream, he's just laying on the table, despite what happens in the dream.
Oh, that's true.
And then, and maybe they can explain it away with the stuff on their heads when they're trying to control the dream. But later on, like the Yafikoto and the girl doctor just lay there on the couch.
But I think I think it's like when. Kind of, yeah, it does go back and forth.
This much more like this might not add up.
Yeah, it's more like if they're walking around the dream, it's not happening. But if they're being thrown by Freddy or something, then they're being thrown around in real life too.
Okay,
which maybe happens a couple times in the rest of the series, but like the first one, when the first girl gets killed, she's like flying through the air, and so it kind of happens there. So I guess it kind of goes back and forth throughout the series, but this one it happens a lot.
Yeah. What, and it leads up to, like, so the security
guard... And this one happens dumb, like, the dumbest ways.
It's dumb, yeah. The security guard follows John Doe around, and at some point, John Doe wakes up, knocks the security guard through a window that might be made of eggshells. I don't know. Like, the security guard fell out of a window, and I was like, wow, that seems really dangerous to have... luckily, it was not even a first floor window. It's almost like a half floor window. He's like, I'm cool. Yeah.
Crazy kids.
Yeah. Crazy kids pushing me through windows. And then.
Well, at the same time, around this, the three, there's three other kids in the home. Tracy, who's like this girl who has issues with her father, and she's like molested or whatever, and she doesn't like to be touched by people. Carlos.
A very dark storyline in this cartoonish movie, by the way. Like that is one of the ones that felt to me like that was from some other script, and
that was the one scene where I'm like, all right, I'm kind of creeped out right now.
Then there's Carlos, who's like deaf in one ear because he got hit by his mother or something.
If you take that piece out,
you can't hear it all.
Well, no, everything could stay exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Like I thought you meant the earpiece.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he couldn't hear it all. But like, you know, his dream later on, if he didn't have a hearing aid before that, the same exact stuff could still happen throughout the dream. It really made no impact on anything.
Yeah.
I was waiting for it to be like they were shouting for him, but he didn't have it in, so he couldn't hear them. But that didn't happen.
Yeah.
There was... Mm-hmm. Really no point in it.
Yeah, it's pretty much a non-factor. And the Lisa Zane psychologist is like...
I was going to say, there's Spencer, the Breckenmeyer character, is a stoner.
Right.
Which allows his father. But they're like cracking a plan to escape.
I just, by the way, thought that was sort of a little awkward that like all of these other kids are facing like serious issues, serious trauma in their lives.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that kid smokes a lot of weed.
Yeah. Well, they kind of address that too, where he's like, oh, my father sucks. And Tracy, the girl's like, you don't know like what it means to have a shitty father, because your father is rich and just wants you to be like him, and my father molested me. And
So the Lisa Zane psychologist comes up with this plan where she's like, all right, John Doe, I'm taking you back to the place you absolutely don't want to go.
Right.
And the one thing you know is that you think that place might harm you, so I'm bringing you there. And the John
Doe... Sounds like a solid plan.
It doesn't. Even the John Doe character's like, this is not good.
I don't know anything, but I know that's bad.
I know that's bad. So they get in their van, which seems to be a van that was a leftover prop from a Rob Zombie movie.
And full of junk left over from the shooting the Rob Zombie movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of junk in the back of the van.
And
it's all construction materials from the...
from the work going on.
Build something.
Yeah.
I mean, that van's really a... Like, it's a little overboard.
Well, you got to have three kids hiding in the back of it. So.
Yeah, they needed the hiding spots.
Yeah, after a near car crash, they find out that... So it's like... I can't remember her. I know the actress Lisa Zane, but
Maggie.
Actually... Maggie. That's right. Okay. So Maggie, the John Doe character, and then the other three teens who we got a little bit of, and they're they're arriving in the town of Springwood. Why am I trying to say Springport?
But there was an editing choice in the trip that my wife and I both kind of... It made us both stop and go... That was just a bad choice. All right, let's get in the van and get going. They start driving, and then you see Springwood, 2 miles. Like, yeah. Well, you got to make a big... I mean, yeah. I'm sure it was much further than that, but I don't know. Maybe put something in between.
Yeah.
Or this thing could have happened in Springwood and just been like,
let's go to Springwood. Yeah. There it is, right over there.
Yeah,
I can see the water tower.
I actually thought, like...
From my office.
Oh, wait a minute. We're in Springwood already.
Yeah.
But I always... This is one of those things I always think of when, you know, a town is haunted or something like that. Like, I don't know about where everyone else is from, but... Where we are, the towns, really, like, you go to the next town for pretty much anything. There's really no...
It's not like an isolated... Like,
yeah, nothing is
like
isolated. Like, if something was going on in the town 2 miles away, we'd all know about it.
Right.
You know, we'd probably be impacted by it if it was some crazy haunting that's, you know, killing all the teenagers. Like, it wouldn't be...
Right, yeah.
We wouldn't be immune to it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this isn't like a situation that's like, county line, you know. Yeah.
The world changes.
Yeah, yeah, you think everyone would be aware that there's a town where all the children were murdered.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be like,
whacked out.
Man, did you hear all the kids in Utica are dead?
Right.
No, I haven't heard. No.
Yeah, that was like 10 years ago. There's no kids.
So. No, I haven't heard.
But yeah, so they get to the town and they realize, and this is why this movie kind of stands out from the rest of my in my head, like, it's his own world, because now Springwood and all the Owen Springwood is basically any town. It's just a quiet little town, and now it's like this, like Chris said, like a haunted town, and all the people are wacky and crazy, and they're having like a
the saddest town fair.
Yeah, they're having a town fair for some reason, even though there's no kids.
So
yeah.
This is another one of my questions. There's nothing special about Springwood.
No, Springwood is supposed to, like, that's why it's never in Elm Street, because it's Elm Street, like they say in this movie. Every town has an Elm Street. It's just like any town. It's a normal town, normal street, you know, normal kids.
Okay, so
it's just where the series generally takes place.
Yeah.
So then, why couldn't they leave the town? I thought it was something about the town.
No, and that's a new rule for this movie too. Is I don't know why nobody.
Okay,
came
so I'm completely confused leave. About Freddy's rules, but. Even if I had watched the rest of the movies, I might still be confused about Freddy's rules.
They were all trapped by the charismatic presence of Roseanne and Tom.
Yes.
Yeah.
I also kept waiting for them to come back.
No.
Yeah. Because in previous movies, Freddy did not control the infrastructure of the surrounding highways, right. Correct?
I think the reason that he's stuck in the town, they don't ever really say it, but in my head, it's because his whole thing is he's killing the kids of the people who killed him. He's like punishing the people who killed him for killing their kids by killing their kids. So I think now that he's wiped out the whole town, he doesn't have like a connection to killing anybody else, I guess. So that's why he needs whoever else to bring him out of
That was of the another town. Thing. Like, if he exists in the world of dreams, why does he have geographical barriers? Like, how could he not get out of the town beforehand?
This was sort of because a winter's tale before a winter's tale existed.
Yeah. I think it's because... Yeah. Like in Freddy vs. Jason, Freddy v. Jason, they say like he's lost his power because like the kids don't remember him, they don't know who he is,
and he can't have nightmares.
So he doesn't have scared. Yeah. So they can't have the nightmares about him. They don't know who he is. So I think it's that kind of thing. Like, no one else knows who he is apparently, so he can't haunt their dreams. So he has to have Lisa Zane bring him back to this other place so that he can infect those dreams. I don't really know how it works.
To be fair,
but I think
John Doe doesn't remember him either.
So yeah,
but he's using John Doe already. He's already in John Doe's.
He was somehow able to get at him.
Psyche or his head.
Yeah.
Still so confused.
Wow.
It is. It does feel overly complicated.
It is very
especially
complicated.
Especially as we talk about it, I'm like, yeah.
But I think that's why why Freddy couldn't leave Springwood or like reach
and
out and get other
we
people.
We haven't even touched on the really crazy part of the Freddy backstory yet with the three. Snake, whatever thing.
Oh, the dream demons?
Yeah.
Oh,
dream demons.
Yeah. Is that previously established?
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if there's anything in 5 with that. I think maybe they mentioned dream demons at one point, but I don't even think they did that. I think this is the first where the dream demons come in and you see how Freddy got his powers or whatever, which I didn't really have to see.
Some bold steps in the 6th and at the allegedly final movie in a franchise.
Right.
Yeah.
Because part five I watch probably the least. I like it, but I just it isn't as good as the other ones for me. So that one I kind of don't remember if they'd mentioned stuff about dream demons in that one.
Okay. And this is where we see Roseanne and Tom Arnold at this sad town fair.
Yep.
And Roseanne is like, kids, we gotta, you know, she like wants to bring the kids home with her, and Tom Arnold is like, God, it says something. They weren't terrible in this scene, actually. As I watched
Tom
this, I was like, yeah, they they're fine in this I guess.
Yeah, Tom Arnold says like, you know, he basically says like, don't interact with the kids. They bring him. They bring Freddy.
Right. Right.
So they are scared to have the kids in the town.
Yeah.
But then so then the kids go to, or no, Lisa Zane and John Doe go to the school. And it's like, yes, everywhere they go, the adults are all whacked out. So they go to the school and the teacher's like teaching to nobody.
Yeah.
And he's like teaching Freddy 101, like the history of Freddy.
Yeah, this is one of those things where I really thought that I was missing a scene in the version of the movie that I watched or something. Because they walk into this classroom with a whacked out teacher muttering what seems to be nonsense.
Yeah.
And they walk out knowing everything about Freddy.
Yeah.
But nothing that they knew was in anything we saw in that room. Like, later on, she even says, Freddy's dead, you know that. Well, yeah. How do we know that?
I noticed that, because as I was watching that scene...
Because it's the timeline.
Well, he has the timeline on the board.
Ever see anything about that. The latest on the timeline we see is 1966... when he says that they stole his kid, which, why in the world does John Doe think that in 1991 he was in an orphanage in 1966?
Yeah.
I mean, that is, yeah.
You John Doe is kind of an idiot.
He doesn't remember how old he is.
Math doesn't exactly.
He hasn't looked in the mirror yet.
Yeah, the more I think about the math, that would make, based on what year the movie's supposed to take place.
Oh, it's supposed to take place in 2001.
That would make a character that appears to be about mid-20s, around 40 years old in actuality, now that I think about it, so...
Yeah,
indeed.
But I agree with Christian.
That's always bothered me too. And I watched that. I was like,
it just hit me now. Like, so it should be. Yeah.
When do I retire? Yeah. I was gonna like, why? It kind of bugged me that the teachers and characters were portrayed as like these Looney Tunes, like interacting in the real world. Where like, it would have helped the exposition of these movies, of this movie, if one of them had made sense and just sort of been that, like, exposition dump character.
Yeah.
Who was like, here's what you need to know.
For the rest of the movie, all of the characters seem to absolutely accept that there is a demon haunting their dreams and they have to go into each other's dreams to be able to fix it and...
Inception style.
There is never any...
There's no reason for them to know that.
Yeah,
there's
don't.
Way for them, including
making a lot of assumptions.
And Yaka Kodo seems to know things.
Theoretically, no one in this movie knows anything about Freddy Krueger and the infection of the dreams and the nightmare killings.
They make wild jumps or wild leaps in logic. Like, well, if we can do this, then that means we can pull them out of the dreams.
I really thought that I was missing a scene that had the exposition dump and that explained things to these characters, or that they saw some sort of evidence. It just
they watched the other movies.
They're one step ahead of me.
Can I ask you a question, too, Cody, as a fan of this movie and someone who's a fan of music?
No, but they cut that one out of the movie.
What are your thoughts on the soundtrack for this movie? And I don't mean
on vinyl.
I don't mean the actual soundtrack. I guess I should be. What are your thoughts on the sound design of this movie? Because so many times you'll just be like, a scene will be playing, and then rock music will come in real hot and just play and then go away. And then not come back for a long time.
I don't mind it because it's a product of the time. Like, this is how they made movies in the late 80s and early 90s.
That's true. That's a good defense.
So it feels like that era to me.
It does. Watching it now, that was really jarring to me when just all of a sudden, like, that hard, like, and then it would just go away for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't, and then it would just come back in.
I'm actually kind of surprised it's not an Alice Cooper song in this movie, considering
that
Alice
is strange. Yeah, and Alice Cooper, that's a missed opportunity.
He did two or three songs for, I think, two songs for Friday the 13th Part 6.
Yeah,
I don't know why he wouldn't.
He was available. He was very available at this time.
Oh, stop!
I'm just saying.
This was his comeback era.
There have been highs and lows to Alice Cooper.
I feel like
he was available.
Early 90s was a fairly.
He was doing pretty.
When was Wayne's World?
Wayne's World was 92.
Yeah.
I feel bad. I feel like Cody's indirectly getting attacked.
I know.
Freddy and Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
Because, man, I came in, saw the decorations, and immediately started bad-mouthing the movie and kind of felt a little bad.
That's fine. I'm used to it.
Okay, the decorations could be for the previous five.
Have we mentioned Cody's sweater on, Mike?
No, we have not.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. He's got a Freddy sweater. Look at that. It's like a quality Freddy sweater, too.
That's
good.
I like that.
It's baller.
Do you have a Freddy hat?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to buy a better one today, though.
Oh, okay.
Oh, great. I have a Halloween party tonight.
That glove is nice, too. Yeah, we've got a Freddy glove on the mixing board, yeah, controlling the knobs. I kind of liked the beginning of this one kill when the kid who has hearing loss falls asleep. Mm-hmm. He's looking at the map. Or no, this isn't actually part of his kill, but he's looking at the map.
It's like
a because they're driving around and they keep getting turned around and lost and they can't get out of the town.
Yeah.
She's like, Tracy's driving. She's like too proud to ask for directions. She's like, I can do it. I can get out of here. And then finally she can't. She's like, okay, look at the map.
And he's unfolding the map and it becomes like this endless map. And I thought that moment was sort of clever and pretty well executed with a good physical prop.
And, yeah.
This was like a time that I laughed because, so there's a long history of me not having seen a lot of well-known movies. And when I first met my husband, he would make so many jokes and I thought he was so creative. And then he's a huge movie buff. So as he made me watch these movies, I would look at him and say, that's where that came from. He would make all of these jokes that were actually just from movies I'd never seen.
So if he had seen these movies, he wouldn't have ended up with them.
It's a possibility. Yeah. So then watching this one, I actually had to ask him later. I'm like, are you the one that always says to me, the map says you're effed? And he's like, nope, that's not me.
That's one of my
Somebody problems. Says that to me or has said it to me many times. And so when I saw that, I started laughing and thought, there's another one.
That's one of my favorite moments.
Yeah, that's a good one. That was, I liked that. And then the kid, so what happens? Lisa Zane and John Doe go to the school and the kids just go to a house?
They can't get out of the town.
They
seemingly
spend several hours.
Yes. Like it's nighttime. They stop and switch drivers, and then it's nighttime, okay.
So Tracy says, like, we have to find a place to crash.
And now I had assumed that whole driving sequence was a nightmare itself until you get a little further along and realize, well, no, them driving around actually wasn't.
Now there's a supernatural ability where they just can't get out of the town.
And this is where I, again, got confused about Freddy's rules.
But
well, this will be the first time.
Again, this is one of the reasons I like this movie is because the whole movie feels like a dream. Like, it's all kind of abstract and weird.
Yeah.
Like that's one of the things I like about it is any moment could be a dream because it's all just weird.
Yeah.
And I feel like all the stuff in the town is supposed to be dreamlike because then once they get out of the town, it comes back to being more kind of real.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
I suppose that like tricks the audience into thinking, are they in a dream or are they not?
There's some creative cinematography and editing in this section too that I sort of appreciated. That was very not 1991 in how they did a couple of things visually, or that was a little ahead of its time maybe for how I think 1991 would have done this in other films.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of times in this movie, I liked shots and I liked I liked sequences like on a technical level.
Yeah. So yeah, they go. They find a random abandoned house, and they go into it, and then it like morphs and changes the outside of it, so it turns into the Elm Street house.
Yeah, the facade of it like explodes. So that house is. I'm assuming that.
Yeah, that's the house from all the movies. It's the house from the first movie that Nancy lived in. It's kind of, and I think in some of the mythos they say it was Freddy's house when he was whatever, but I don't know. That wasn't supposed to be that way in the first movie, but. It's kind of like throughout the series, like someone lives in that house and he has some connection to that house. Yeah. But,
and this is when part of the time that I thought he must have powers in the real world to be able to do that.
Yeah, I don't understand that part.
Okay.
Yeah.
He never really has that kind of power in the rest of the movies to really manipulate the real world like that.
Okay.
But I think, like I said, he has some power over this town now. And I think the town is in some weird perpetual dream.
You know, he'd won like it's like
gotten,
a video.
So maybe
game.
He's gotten so powerful that
he'd
won
an achievement. He'd like an achievement award. Like he killed all the kids, so
now he has
like,
power over the town.
You know,
something like
that. And so the kid with the hearing loss falls asleep at some point.
Yeah, he goes and finds a bedroom and just passes out.
And we get a sequence that's way too long of Freddy stalking him and killing like and. Taking his hearing aid in the dream and then impaled like
some of the stuff they do here they do it a few times in this movie and I actually like it is where they like change the set within a scene.
Yes.
So he like goes out of the room, he like wakes up, goes out of the room, and then he's in like a different place, like some like an apartment building that obviously was something from his past, and then he like turns around, it's all in the same track, he turns around, then there's a wall there.
Yeah.
They do it a few times where like a character will wake up in like one location, then turn around, it's like a different place, and turn back around, and the behind them has changed too. Like, I like that kind of, that was like an interesting effect.
I like that.
I do it like two or three times, but
yeah.
I do like, so I like that part of the sequence.
And it just goes on the whole sequence goes on a little too long for me. I mean, in the, like, what happens? How does it, like, Freddy takes his hearing aid. At one point, Freddy looks at the camera and kind of breaks the fourth wall.
A couple times, yeah. Well, because he sees his mother in this apartment building, and his mother, like, is mad at him for running away or something, so she takes like a big Q-tip and like sticks it through his head.
Oh, right.
Which doesn't kill him for some reason.
Yeah, that's, I was kind of curious about that too.
But it pops out his ear, hearing aid or something.
No, Freddy cuts off his ear.
Well, he cuts off his ear again. Yeah. So he cuts, well, because his mother turns into Freddy, obviously, he cuts off the ear, and then they end up in a boiler room, which they always end up in a boiler room.
Yes.
So then Freddy's kind of stalking him in this boiler room where he can't hear anything, so he's like sneaking up behind him, and then he gives him the hearing aid. And it turns into like this big
crab
thing on his ear.
It fuses like, with his head. Yeah.
So he's hearing everything like super loud now. And Freddy's like dropping pins and stuff and scratching a chalkboard.
I kind of liked that.
That the nails on the chalkboard song was like clever. The worst sound in the world to me. So I actually I plugged my ears for that part.
I like how he like makes the board get really big, and that felt like a good Freddy kill to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it was kind of
like the only one in the movie that I really appreciated and was like, okay, I like that.
I like that.
Yeah. So then he's scratching the board and it causes the kid's head to explode.
Yeah.
Because the kid's all like, no, and he's like, like he's going to do it. And then, it was just, that was very Freddy.
You can't see Jack miming.
That was very Freddy to me. Yeah. Yes, it was. Yes, my miming is fantastic.
So the kid dies, but then he shows up in Spencer's dream.
Yeah. That happens. Well, so there's another new rule in this movie is that when these kids die, they are disappearing from reality.
So that's not
a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Typically, they die and then they're found dead, and it's like how they die. But this one, like Carlos dies and he disappears. So the other kids are like looking for him, they can't find him. But he's like in the dream world now. Like his Freddy, when he kills kids, he like takes their souls and they become part of him, or whatever. So I think that's what that's about. But he shows up in Spencer's dream because Spencer is now asleep too. Well, he's super high and he like passes out because he's super high.
Right.
So then he's dreaming, and he's watching TV. I think this is the next part because Tracy's trying to find Carlos now. She can't find him because he's disappeared. So she tries to get Spencer to help, but Spencer's like just stoned out of his mind, like sitting on the couch watching a blank TV.
Yeah.
But in
that great Hollywood high.
Yeah. But he sees in his head on the TV, he sees Carlos like on the TV like.
Trying to warn him or something.
Like, get out, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it goes to. Did it cut away from there, or is that when you see Johnny Depp?
This is Johnny Depp, your brain on drugs commercial.
Yeah.
So kind of funny.
Yeah.
Kind of funny.
I did appreciate Johnny Depp that. Back.
Johnny Depp's doing the famous, egg from the frying pan commercial thing, and any questions that Freddy pops out and hits him with a frying pan, and then pulls Spencer into the dream.
And he goes, "Hey, Spence, let's trip out."
And play Inagata De Vida.
Yeah. And Spence gets he gets straight up Mike TV'd. He gets like sucked into the TV.
Yeah, and he disappears from... Yeah. And that's the thing about this one, is he just goes in the dream and he disappears. He's not dead yet, but he disappears.
But then he shows back up, bouncing around the house.
Right.
For this sequence that... I'm going to say it's dumb and goofy and cartoonish, although if I'm putting myself back in 1991...
In 91, it was probably cool.
I get it. Because Nintendo was such a thing, and it's...
Yep.
And it's mocking the idea of platforming video games, which was a new idea at the time, and I'm...
Specifically mocking the Power Glove, too.
Yeah. Yes. Power Glove. Yeah.
He even says now you're playing with power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... He pulls Spencer in Spencer's nightmares. He's in this 8-bit video game, and it's basically like the bad guy in the video game is his father, who's trying to get him to be like him or whatever. So he's like fighting off his father, and at the same time,
oh god.
So I'm trying to put this all together in my head. Tracy goes out and finds John and Lisa.
Yeah, this movie is really a lot like The Lord of the Rings in that there's a lot of parallel storylines happening.
So she runs out because she can't find Carlos and Spencer's stone out of mind, so she goes to find them. She finds them.
Actually, there is a connection.
Brings them back to the house. And so they're looking around the house for Spencer. And then, so in the dream, Spencer's in this video game. He's being bounced around like a video game character. And so then Spencer comes, like, bursting through a wall and is, like, bouncing around the house like he is in the dream, which is, like, the dumbest, probably the dumbest image in any of these movies to me.
Yeah. Is probably.
Yeah, I would agree.
Compounded by the audio of someone going, wake him up, and they go, he's too wasted.
And then Freddy's in the dream playing, he's playing the video game on, you know, and like a controller, a camera, or something, like an Atari stick or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's like literally going like boing, boing, boing. It's like, that's a little, that one scene is like the one thing I don't like about this movie is this scene.
It has not aged well.
Yeah.
No.
It is.
So then John Doe and Tracy decide to go into the dream.
Because somehow they know that A, that's what they should do, and B, how to do it. How do you get into someone else's dream?
Well, because
this is another one of those.
Well, I will say, he taught her
how to meditate.
Yeah,
how does John Doe just be like, you have to knock me over the head so I can go into his dream and save him? You don't know anything about Freddy yet.
How does he go into his dream? Way.
Yeah. Well, let me ask Cody this: in previous Nightmare on Elm Street movies, you can't knock someone out, can you? I thought everybody...
To go into a dream... No, so in 3 and 4, there's a character who can bring people into dreams. So Freddy's using... There's two different characters because the power gets passed on to someone else when the first one dies.
Right.
But where this character has this power to bring people into her dreams.
Right.
So Freddy's using her to get to other kids to make them fall asleep and bring them into the dream world.
Right.
But I don't think at any point did someone just fall asleep and end up in somebody else's dream.
And you can't, in any other Nightmare on Elm Street movie, has someone not fallen asleep but been violently knocked unconscious and show up in it? I mean, like, that seemed to
bend
the rules of Nightmare on Elm Street to me.
I'm trying to think, but I don't think so.
So, in other words, this movie didn't explain Freddy's rules because it broke all of Freddy's rules.
It makes new rules, yes.
Yes.
Got it.
Some of these movies have their own rules. Like Part 2 has its own rules where Freddy can come into reality when he wants.
Yeah.
But and then that kind of goes away. But this one has like a completely different set of rules.
Yeah.
So they go into the dream together because it's not even Carlos's. They don't go into Carlos's dream where he's in the video game. They go into the boiler room where Freddy is, where he's playing the game.
Yeah.
And they distract Freddy and like start fighting him off.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember exactly how.
Then there's somewhere in here is where we get the Freddy parachute, and what kid in one of the
that's coming up. So what happens is he's playing the video game and Tracy comes in like kicks the controller out of his hand.
Oh right.
And then
right.
They like turn and run but Freddy's like he's got the power gloves. He's like now I'm playing with power and he kills Spencer.
Yeah.
Who disappears in the real world.
By falling through a hole that appeared in the floor in the real world.
Into hell, yes.
Yes.
The rules don't make any sense.
Yeah.
I never said this movie made sense.
Yeah.
But he, like, ingests Carlos's soul, which he does in other movies, too. But Carlos then apparently disappears from reality.
And Spencer. Both of them.
I'm sorry, Spencer's what I meant. Yeah. I keep calling him Carlos. So, Spencer's dead. I'm trying to remember. How's Tracy? Because Tracy goes into her own dream, right?
She had like meditated to sleep, so she woke back up, and then this is a time where John is just laying on the table,
right?
Because his body didn't move at all during the dream,
yeah.
Even though Freddy did like push him out of the room and all that kind of stuff.
Is this where she woke herself up by like intentionally?
That's later on. I thought that was here, but I think that's later.
Okay.
Yeah, that was later. Okay.
So yeah, so then they had to grab John's body and they're going to try to leave town with him. So they put him in the back of the van and they start driving off. But he's still in...
Oh, that's right. He's still knocked out.
Yeah, so he goes back to the first dream he had in the movie where he's in the house.
Yeah.
We did forget one kind of important element that's about to come up is this whole time John thinks he's Freddy Krueger's son.
Right.
Because he thinks
convinced
that he was in an orphanage 30 years ago.
Yes, and he's convinced that's why he's important to Freddy, why Freddy's after him.
Yeah.
So
he's about to challenge Dick Clark for the title of world's oldest teenager.
Because remember, it's 10 years later, so it's 40.
So he goes back into this dream where he's in the house again, and he opens the window, and it's like a normal day. So then he like goes outside. He's like, oh, it must have been a dream or whatever. And then like the house zooms up in the space. Then he wakes up again in the bed in the house.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, now I'm not moving. I'm not going to leave. And then the bed catches on fire, so he has to jump out the window.
This was kind of...
I did appreciate this one.
Nothing's going to get me off this bed. And then the fire just erupts, and he just...
Yeah.
Yeah. So he jumps out the window, which is still in space, and he goes falling to Earth. And that's when Freddy... Does he have a parachute, or Freddy pulls puts a parachute on something?
He has a parachute.
Yeah, because he pulls a parachute, and he's like... Oh, and Freddy's like in the parachute.
Yeah.
Wacky. So Freddy is here. He starts cutting the straps on the parachute, and John's like, no, you can't kill me. I'm your son. And he's like, oh, do you think you're my son? No, you weren't my son. Think again.
Yeah.
I just need to use you to get to my daughter. So then he cuts the straps on the parachute, and he goes falling to the ground and falls in a very, like, Wile E. Coyote moment. Yeah. Freddy, like, pushes a bed of spikes into the road where he's going to fall.
And just waits.
And waits for him, and he falls on a bed of spikes. Yeah. And in the real world, like, blood's spurting out of his chest or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, but he gets pulled out. I forgot about that one. He opens the parachute. In the real world, he gets pulled out of the van. Right. The ceiling of the van.
Yeah.
And then ends up in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
With blood spurting out of him.
Yeah.
And then I think he disappears too.
He does.
Yeah. And I think he sort of tries to say something to Maggie.
In the most complicated way. Because he says, it's not a boy.
Yeah.
Why couldn't he have said, like, daughter?
It's you.
He would probably assume Tracy because he thinks that he was old enough to be in orphanage in 1966.
Right in here, too, we get the flashback of where we get a flashback to see Freddie, like Robert Englund, no Freddie makeup.
They keep going back because in Lisa, they keep going back to Lisa Zane's dream.
But we don't see yet that it's Freddy without the Freddy makeup.
Yeah.
Right.
We see it from, now we know Maggie's point of view, where she's a little kid running around, so she only sees legs of her parents. Right. We don't know that it's him yet.
Yeah, it's basically...
That comes in a little while.
Yeah, it's this kid's father is, like, beating his mother, or killing his mother, or her mother, rather.
Yeah.
And so you keep getting snippets of that. So you get, I think, a little snippet there, too. But, yeah, so John disappears, and then Freddy, like... This is my least favorite Freddy line of all time, is where he goes, it's travel in time. Yeah. It sounds like a very, like, I don't know. I can imagine
the talking Freddy Krueger doll.
That's what it sounds like,
This feels like, that's what this movie feels like, is they were just putting Robert Englund on set and someone was, like, pulling a cord in his back.
But he, like, goes into Lisa Zane's head.
Yes.
Yeah, this was... But no, not even goes into her head. Like, inhabits her body in the real world. Like, sort of possesses her, but never makes her do anything. Like, it doesn't seem like she knows. But that's how he moves from one town to the next.
Right, because he's using her to bring him to a new...
Which, again, made
batch of kids
sense
whatever.
To me. But I'm just going to accept
But they kind of do some stuff. Yeah, like, in part two, again, he uses one kid. Like, he's basically inhabiting this kid and possessing this kid to get to kill, I guess, basically.
But so the weird thing is he did it like in the real world. It's not like she was dreaming and he took over in her dream.
But I think that this is, again, because it's within this town, it's all kind of a dream. Because when they leave the town, it like shatters again. Like reality shatters and then they're in like the real world again. So I think this is supposed to be where it's like all just kind of
This is why I thought the whole town was haunted.
I think it is, It's just a haunted.
The dream world and the real world.
Just a haunted town. The haunting ends at the town line, so. So then they go back to the home for troubled kids, and apparently nobody there remembers Carlos or
like they're erased from existence.
Or John Doe, Like, no one remembers him at all. But they remember him, and Yaphet Kotto remembers him.
Because I can control my dreams.
Yes.
Yaphet Kotto, from this point on, I mean, this is not set up, but he just, he knows everything.
Yes.
He does have a line in the beginnings about how he wants to do dream therapy.
Yeah, he's really
So that's like the only setup that he gets.
And I honestly think in real life, if there's anyone that knows everything, it's Yaphet Kotto. I did not know he was in this. He popped up towards the beginning, and I immediately got excited. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
You know what? No matter how bad the rest of this might be, I always love seeing Yaphet Kotto. Legitimately one of my favorite actors.
He's great in this, too. I mean, I thought he was legitimately great.
For what he had to do,
For the material he was given, it's like you sold it as good as anyone could.
Yeah. But again, this is a new role where in none of the other movies does a person disappear from existence because they were killed by Freddy.
Yeah.
So that is a new rule in this movie as well.
So that's just the answer to basically all my questions.
They're all new rules.
New
rules.
New rules.
Yeah.
So is
you
this
think
they'd
save it for the next Freddy movie, but no.
What's it? Tracy? Is this where we go into Tracy's?
So, yeah, I think he... Because here's a thing that is from the other movies, is in your dream you can... if you're holding on to something in your dream when you wake up, you pull into reality. So in the first movie, that's how it ends, is Nancy gets a hold of Freddy and wakes up and pulls him into the real world. So in the real world, he's mortal and he can be killed.
Okay.
So that's what they're going for. So for some reason, Yafikoto, oh, because he has a dream when he like grabs a piece of his shirt and brings it into reality.
Right.
So he knows, okay, if we go into a dream, grab him, we can bring him into reality and then we can kill him here.
Yeah.
So he sends Tracy into a dream, I think.
No, Tracy, I think, dreams on her own because she wakes up in bed, not in the couch.
She goes in on her own because this is the one where she wakes up by burning herself in the dream. She goes into a Rob Zombie dream. Then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's brushing her teeth in a Rob Zombie bathroom. Okay. Yeah. And then her creepy, rapey dad comes in. I mean, this whole sequence does not fit in this movie. Oh, like it's disturbing. It's genuinely disturbing. It's troubling. It's traumatic. And it's like, and after it ends, there's no like clarity given. Like, she survives this movie, but like that it's never really brought
up. She does
up,
say at some point, like, he knows how to get to what hurts the most or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is that for anything. Is that also a new rule that you can wake yourself up from a dream by physically harming yourself?
No, because in the first movie, Nancy does that too. She like burns herself on a board, on like a pipe to wake herself up in a dream.
But are you already being physically tortured and harmed?
I mean, come on.
I think
I'm not waking up.
Yeah,
I think it has something to do with like intent too. Like maybe if you really, really concentrate, you can wake yourself up and summon that.
Because you're aware that it's a dream, and I don't know.
Where when you're confronting Freddy, maybe you forget for a little while and you're more focused on getting away from the killer. You kind of begin to believe the dream. That's kind of how I always rationalized it.
Okay.
But that is something that happens.
I'll take it,
films.
I guess.
So then Yafikoto comes up. He
still
has...
Confused.
Oh, that's very confusing.
Somehow Yafikoto has a whole plan ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Like an add water plan to... With equipment, with hardware.
There you go.
Because he wants to do dream therapy.
It's the prequel to Inception.
But it seems like this only could have been used, or like this seems custom built for a Freddy situation, but Yafikoto.
He's the ultimate doomsday prepper.
Yeah, I guess. A dream doomsday prepper.
He had heard about Springwood.
Yeah.
It's only 2 miles away.
No one else, apparently, but.
So now we're entering what was the 3D portion of the film.
So, yes. So he's going to he decides to put Lisa Zane to sleep. She's found out by this point that she's Freddy's daughter.
Now, that is canon. This isn't like some trick, right? I don't remember. Like, Freddy actually did have a daughter.
Not until this movie.
Yeah, but this movie is part of a continuation of that story. So this is something that we've just never known. We're learning. Right. We're legitimately learning something new. He's not screwing with her.
Right. That was something I wanted to ask about because you know, I've seen a little bit here and there of the Friday the 13th series. So I wasn't sure if this was a completely out of left field concept.
Wait,
that
you mean
from Friday the 13th? Yeah. This is pretty different.
I'm sorry.
I said, wait, I know I haven't seen any of either of
the franchises. Some of the rules in this movie do better apply to the Friday the 13th universe.
Nightmare on Elm Street. Sorry.
Yeah, no, there's never been any insinuation that he had a kid.
See, you all thought I was kidding when I said in the group chat that I'm going to watch the sixth movie of another series.
And I said, if you do, watch Friday 13th, Part 6. This is the best one.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So, kind of jumping off of Jack's question earlier, what did you say was the motivation in earlier movies for why Freddy was killing all the... punching...
So, Freddy Krueger was, in real life, a child murderer. And he was caught, went to trial, but there was a technicality that he got off on.
Okay.
So he got let go. It was something like because someone didn't sign a search warrant or something dumb like that. So he got let go. And so the parents of Springwood decided to take care of themselves. So they, in the scene that you see later on, they burn him alive.
Okay.
So then as his revenge, he becomes a ghost and kills their kids. In, you know, after once he's a dream demon or whatever, then he kills all those parents' kids.
Okay.
So that's his whole motivation in the whole series is killing all these kids because they're the kids of the Elm Street parents who killed him.
Because in this one, it makes it seem like, and I thought he even said this, that he started killing the kids of the people that took his daughter from him.
He did
so
say
I guess,
that.
I guess they're probably the same people.
But I guess it's
well,
the same
I think
people.
That was. I think.
Yeah.
Maybe they kidnapped his daughter
kids
and
that.
Squirreled her away to make sure she was safe. And
he was already killing kids because they discover.
And they did take his daughter away from him because he was killing kids.
Why didn't he kill it? Why didn't he kill his daughter if he has a compulsion for killing kids?
Hey man, he's got standards.
Well, he was killing teenagers, or was he killing specifically any kids?
They never really... They kind of don't go into it too much because it's kind of weird and creepy. That's why, like, the remake was kind of really bad because they do go into it. He's, like, molesting little kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this one series killers. Yeah. The remakes just kind of...
Right.
Yeah.
There were remakes?
They call him a child killer. Right. There was a remake, and it was horrendous. So, yeah, his motivation, that's why he wiped out all the kids of Springwood, is because they're all the kids of the people who killed him, because he killed their kids.
They rose up against him Frankenstein style with torches. Yeah.
The all the newspaper clippings from the whacked out teacher's room did not seem to imply that he was killing kids. Well, I guess that wouldn't be the same one. Because they clearly, like, in Maggie's dream, she remembers the moment of she saw her father killing her mother after discovering his creepy basement of horrors. Mm. But none of that seemed to imply that he had been killing children before that moment. I only got that he had been killing people.
There was a headline on one of the newspapers that said, like, child slayer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But they do.
If you look close,
it seemed like
the movie is a little overconfident that people know the background.
This movie is super overconfident that people know what's going on.
Well, I mean, but this was within the 8-year period that all these movies came out.
That's true.
They made it within 8 years.
Yeah.
People are going to see these movies.
We were talking at the beginning about, you know, the amount of Freddy merchandise that was around at the time.
Yeah.
They also wanted to leave them as marketable as possible, I'm guessing. Yeah, yeah.
Imagine walking into, like, a Price Chopper supermarket, and there would have been, like, Freddy displays. Like
Freddy cereals,
Freddy cereal?
There were Freddy, the most famous was the Freddy pajamas.
Freddy pajamas.
You put your kid in Freddy pajamas, and he's a child.
I mean,
genuinely love the irony of that.
He's a boogeyman, though. I liken him to the Universal Monsters. They had just pushed some envelopes by the time they got to the 80s. He's just the boogeyman.
I think there's also a real question cool of about, like, Krusty the Clown on The Simpsons. Like, many people have said he is an allegory for KISS and their willingness to put their name on anything.
Well,
but there's also a Freddy Krueger element to, like...
Well, that kind of becomes, not to stretch out too much, but a plot point in the next one, which is New Nightmare, which I don't know if you know anything about.
Nope.
That one, Wes Craven comes back and directs it, and it's a movie, it's basically kind of like Scream Before Scream, takes place in the real world where these movies exist.
Okay.
So Robert Englund plays Robert Englund.
Yeah.
Like, it's
so basically, like, the actors from the first movie come back and play themselves.
Become terrorized, yeah.
Yeah,
so Freddy becomes, he becomes, like, real because of all this merchandise and all, like, how big of a pop culture figure he is. There's, like, this demon that takes his visage on because of how much power he's gotten.
Oh, that's a cool concept.
It's an interesting movie, yeah. But so they kind of play off that of how ridiculously pop culture he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Creates this monster in the real world.
Yeah.
But that's a whole different story. So back to this one.
Alright, so she's...
I think this podcast is going to be longer than the movie.
I know. So Lisa Zane's inside the dream, and it's actually kind of
she gets inside his head.
Inside his head.
Yeah.
And where...
So she's seeing his memories.
So not knowing that this was 3D when it came out, I was laughing my head off at the idea that she has to wear these 3D glasses when... You know, I'm sitting there thinking, it's a dream. Can it just be anything? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then when I walked in here, sat down, and see you have the 3D glasses sitting on the table, then it suddenly made so much more sense. So many things that happen in the last portion of the movie makes so much more sense.
I guess I didn't think to warn you about that, but in the movie, there's a point in this third act where Lisa Zane puts on the 3D glasses, and you're supposed to put on the 3D glasses, like if you're seeing in the theater, when she puts the glasses on, because at that point the movie becomes 3D for the remainder of the act.
Like any good early 90s movie.
Yeah.
3D was even dying out at this point. 3D had its resurgence in the 80s. This was 91.
They were very late.
So they were late to the game.
Well, this movie was all about gimmicks, though. I mean, like, they had, like, an actual funeral for Freddy, like, in real life to promote the movie and, like, stuff like that.
Was Freddy, quote unquote, dead before this movie?
I mean, he dies in each one.
defeat him, but this is supposed to be the ultimate. They finally killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
killed them dead.
They're just basically saying, we're not doing it anymore. And I mean, they did a couple more, but this was kind of the end of that series. Because, like I said, the next one takes place in the real world, and then Freddy vs. Jason is after that.
Yeah. It's sort of like could take place at any point.
Yeah. I think even New Line was realizing that they'd taken this about as far as they could go.
Yeah, at that point. Because it was six movies, and like I said, it was...
Six movies in like seven years.
Yeah. Wow. That's a pretty good run.
91, yeah.
He really was popular.
Yeah. Plus the TV show and all that. Yeah, so it's... I think they're just
pop culture out, icon. But,
Plus the squirt guns. Somehow
I missed all of them.
So she watches in Freddy's dream, old friend of the show, Alice Cooper.
Indeed, welcome back.
One of his memories.
This was the moment Freddy where I looked at the screen and thought, is that Alice Cooper? No wonder Cody likes this movie.
That's the other reason.
But
as a kid, seeing Alice Cooper in anything.
But not playing Alice Cooper.
No.
Right. Yeah. Which, so often, it's just him either playing Alice Cooper or like a variation on Alice.
You really have to watch Monster Dog.
I've not.
Okay. Monster Dog is amazing. It's amazing.
He plays a rock star, but it's not Alice Cooper.
And is that the one that's not his voice, though?
Yes.
Yes.
So they dubbed over his voice with somebody else's voice.
Visually, it is Alice Cooper.
It's directed by the person who did Troll 2.
But
it's from the 80s.
There was an audio representation of the confused look I think is on my face right now.
So it's like it was shot as like he's Spanish, or I think he's Spanish.
I thought it was Italian.
He might be. He's either Italian or Spanish. Spanish. So they dubbed over everybody's voices, including Alice Cooper, this famous rock star who everyone knows his voice.
So just out of curiosity, whose voice did they get, Brad?
The most generic white guy sounding voice you could ever hear.
You could at least get Gene Simmons or
It's literally adds the most to the comedy because
Ozzy Osbourne would be somebody in that just that general.
Yeah, because you see Alice Cooper talking to this guy, he's like this regular guy voice, and it's like
it is really amazing bad. For that reason.
Yeah,
and we also should mention that the monster dog of the title is one step below Triumph for the Insult Comic Dog when the rubber dog category. Yeah.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
But back to this one. So she sees a couple of his memories, starting from when he's a kid and he's killing like a rat or something in class, and all his classmates are calling him son of a hunter maniac, which is another part of his history.
Yeah.
I was wondering what that
was
too.
He was conceived because his mother was a nun who worked in an asylum, and they accidentally locked her in the asylum over Christmas break, and she was raped by a hundred maniacs.
Oh wow.
And so that's how he came to be, which is why he's crazy.
Freddy is dumb.
That's the
it is.
That's the phenomenon.
This is a cartoon movie.
Yeah.
Freddy is dark.
Yeah.
Well, because the other movies are dark and this one is a cartoon. Yeah.
Now was that his actual backstory, or is that just the legend of his backstory?
No, that's because they go into that.
If you bought your kids the Hot Wheels car, it's right on the back of the car.
Because they go back.
I just don't remember.
In the third and the fifth movie, they go into that. But so then she sees him, with the stepfather who's beating him.
And she watches the memory of her own mother being murdered. That's pretty grim in a cartoonish movie.
Yeah.
But
then they show him also when he gets killed by the parents, and as he's being burned up, the dream demons are there and we're going to give you powers to exist in the dream world, and that's
you have been super chosen.
Yeah,
that is a super dumb
these moment. Weird worm it, things
it's yeah. not great
yeah. yeah so but then they go to where he sees her or I guess that's before that he kills her mother and then he comes in and is because she's like, oh, I won't tell, but you did tell, and that's why I got taken away or whatever. And and then they start kind of fighting.
Robert Englund really gets beat up in this movie. There's a lot of people hitting him, kicking him. I felt bad for him. Mm-hmm. Most of his days on the set seem to involve someone hitting him.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
And you get a fight between the two of them. My jaw inadvertently dropped. I'm not just saying my mouth was agape as someone throws her lit dynamite from
That's coming out.
I was lit dynamite from
when she's locked in a cage
from the pipe bombs.
She's locked. They don't have the cage open yet, and they throw her a lit pipe bomb. But that comes a little
they have
bit.
That arsenal.
We're not there
in the basement.
Yet.
Well, so they're fighting in the dream, and she gets woken up by Yaphet Kotto, and as she's holding on to him. Comes out of the dream, but he's not there. But because she's still seeing things in 3D, she's like, it's not over yet. He's here. And she goes into there's a cage, and he's in the cage, but he's normal looking now. He's not burned. And he's like, I'm sorry, or whatever. It's not, he's trying to convince her that he's not going to kill her.
Right.
So he still has some powers here though, because he changes himself to look like he's not burned up and stuff, and he's crawling on the ceiling at one point.
But then he can't heal himself when she breaks his hand.
Right.
Yeah. He is definitely a lot weaker when he's not.
Yeah, he's supposed to lose his powers when he comes
in. He's literally just a dude with a claw hand. Which, I mean, he could still kill you with that claw hand
at one point.
Right, which in the other movies, he doesn't have those powers.
And he can change his appearance.
Oh, that's right. He's dancing on the ceiling.
Yeah. So they go into the arsenal where they've put all the pipe bombs and knives they've confiscated, and they throw her some knives and some pipe bombs, and he locks her in the cage with him.
I guess I did. You're right. I didn't pick, because there is that line where Tracy's like, "Hey, cool knife, man."
Yeah. And they hold it into the camera because it's 3D. And there's like a bat with nails in it and stuff. And
like, you know what's funny?
That's from a Double Dragon video game.
As she held out that bat,
we got this garbage can with a turkey in it too.
As she held out that bat, I actually thought to myself, that camera shot seems like a 3D gimmick.
Yeah,
little did I know.
Yep.
It really was.
It certainly was.
So then they keep fighting. She's throwing knives at him and stuff, and she gets a hold of his claw hand. And
she's somehow an expert knife thrower.
Yes. She doesn't miss ones.
I mean, knives, throwing stars, like everything. Genetics. She is perfect. Perfect aim.
Mm-hmm.
They showed no training.
They did set that up, never.
Yeah.
So
for her, yeah.
I was thinking, did I miss something? Yeah. No.
In part three, when they go into the dreams, they get these powers. They have each have these powers in the dreams, but she's not in a dream. Okay, not really. So I think this is just a let's have her throw knives.
Yeah.
And ninja stars, because they're ninja stars too.
And also because ninja stars, because these are
90s.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
So then she stabs him with his claw glove, and then stick a dynamite or a pipe bomb or whatever into his chest.
But yeah, that I had the same feeling Alex had when they throw her a lit pipe bomb. How is that a good idea in any situation? But also, they're still trying to get the door open. Yeah. There's a big chance that she could be locked in there with him when the pipe bomb goes off.
That's true.
Yeah.
Gotta risk it.
You have to.
I envision them lighting up. Like, I'm like, who isn't lighting this? Like, what? You know, that's... Yeah. So then, in the final line of the movie, she's like smiling. She's like, ha ha ha, Freddy's dead. And I'm like, my God.
And his head blows up like 6 times.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I
imagine 3D, that would have been terrifying. It's coming right at you.
That would have been amazing.
It was like the great train robbery when someone shot a gun in the screen and people were nervous. Before we do, is it so bad it's good? Yes. I have two so wrong it's right questions that are both pretty amazing. I'm going to start with the director of this movie, who had worked on previous Nightmare on Elm Street movies, went on to become a pretty solid director in her own right.
I saw her name on something recently. I was shocked at.
Well, you may know the answer to this then. Has become one of the more notable directors of a great TV show, like a regular, a director who has actually, to many degrees, been defining the look of the show. Is the nice lady who directed Freddy's Dead a regular director on Walking Dead, Doctor Who, or Game of Thrones?
No, there's another one that I don't know. This one I'm not sure of. I don't think it's Walking Dead, though.
I'm going to say Game of Thrones.
I'm going to say Doctor Who because of the other one I know her from.
I was thinking Doctor Who.
I'll go with the
Walking Dead.
I'll go with Walking Dead.
I don't have her name. I should have written her name, but Doctor Who. She is directing some of the more notable Doctor Who episodes.
I saw her name as director on an episode of the last season of Sherlock.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
She's doing that now. That's awesome. Because
But and I do like a lot of the look of this movie. I mean, this movie's crazy pants, but I like a lot of the look of it.
Well, I just like that they let her direct it because she had been literally the first movie. She was on the first movie as like an accountant or something, some small role, and she grew up through her role grew through the movies.
I like how we say like she grew up over the 7 years they were making. She started as an accountant, and 7 years later she was directing.
They let her direct it.
Tell
me where that. But each movie she kind of got a bigger role, and then when they were doing the last one, they were like, let's have her do it because she's been here from the beginning. And I thought that was nice, the tie into the history of the movies.
And she's good. She's good. This next, our other So Wrong It's Right question is instantly in the pantheon of the greatest So Wrong It's Right questions we've ever had.
Okay.
What actor in this movie has given extensive interviews about how they have been regularly abducted by aliens since age 9?
That sounds... jeez. Wow.
Okay, so I know Yaphet Kotto has actually interacted with an alien.
He has.
So I'm not going to go with him. The guy who played John Doe.
That's going to be my guess. There aren't that many actors in the movie.
Yeah.
Or I'll go for an obscure one.
He just seems like the kind that would say...
And I'll even give a little more. This actor has given an extensive interview talking about the impact this has had on his life and the how he even is hesitant to talk about it because it has actually been just such a part of his life for so long.
I'm going to say Robert Englund. I'm going to make the ballsy choice.
Oh, okay.
Say Robert Englund.
I'm going to go with just a completely obscure one and say the director guy of the shelter.
The guy who's confiscating the pipe bombs.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Carlos.
I will give you, okay. No one had it. I will tell you, the actor who has spoken extensively about how he is regularly abducted by aliens since age 9 also once inflated to death in a James Bond movie. It is Yaphet Kotto.
What? What?
Everyone who is Google Yaphet Kotto aliens vice interview and you will it is
yeah
it is worth
Nick looks
it.
Horrified
it is so worth
Nick
it
Nick is speechless
proclaiming his love for Yaphet Kotto.
Especially since I start off with
what we know.
I love Yaphet Kotto, and when you read this interview, like it's
I'm shocked
incredible.
He took the role in Alien.
he wanted to get back.
He talks about that. He talks about that in the Vice interview about
it was cathartic for him.
Yeah, you know, that would explain the technical consultant reference.
He said he didn't want to talk about this around the time Alien was coming out because he thought people would think it was just a weird way for him to be promoting the movie.
Wow.
I am astounded.
Yes.
I will say, too, Lisa Zane is going to be at ScareCon next Friday.
Really?
Yes.
And see, I think
if I go, I'm gonna bring this movie.
Oh, you totally should. I actually like her a lot in this movie. I thought I was looking at her filmography because I was surprised I hadn't seen her in more stuff. I thought she was pretty good.
I was kind of surprised. Aside from Yaphet Kotto and Breckenmeyer, I recognize no one from this movie.
Yeah
those 80s horror films have that. It's the challenge of 80s horror films.
Each series has like one person who went on to be someone, like Johnny Depp in these ones,
Crispin Glover from the Friday the 13th,
and then Jamie Lee Curtis Halloween. Beyond that it's like mostly obscure, just like a lot of them don't even, you know, acted in this. It was like their last acting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of those kind of actors, but
yeah,
so it's not too surprising.
All right, so now let's go around and do Is It So Bad It's Good? I don't know if I should have Cody go first or last. Cody, do you want to go first?
I think
it's pretty obvious that
I love this movie, and I've loved it since I was 6 years old, or 5 years old, or however old I was. And the fact that it has Alice Cooper in it, it's fun. I love watching it. I watch it at least once a year. I will just say that.
Jack, do you want to go?
I think it's like Freddy watered down. It felt like, you know, Robert Englund was kind of phoning it in. Like for a final Freddy film, as this was intended to be, it was really like kind of lame. It kind of felt like one of the forgotten ones in the middle, you know? Like the last one should be like more intense and more epic. It's not terrible.
I don't think the last movies in any of these series are good though.
Yeah, good point.
Usually all
it's good. A good point.
Is there a last movie in it?
I would watch it.
I think it's the last one because it's the one that made the least money usually.
I would watch it again because it's a Nightmare on Elm Street movie, because Robert Englund is in it and he does well as Freddy, but again it just kind of felt like like there was something lacking. Like it dragged for a bit for me. It was just too goofy.
Christy, your entry. This is both. This is amazing. This is someone's entry into the Nightmare on Elm Street. For two of you, this is your entry into the Nightmare on Elm Street world.
You've seen the first. Yeah.
Okay.
I've seen
okay.
I feel like I always end up seeing like the worst version of a famous franchise.
Yeah.
Partly because of this podcast. I think for somebody who doesn't enjoy horror films, this is kind of a good happy medium. You know, I get to see some of the Freddy story, but not. And I shouldn't say I would absolutely hate any of the other ones, because I might enjoy it. I don't know. But I'm not a big fan of horror films. So it's okay as just a little, like, Freddy light.
It's pretty harmless. Yeah. I mean, I won't give my one, but yeah. Nick, what are you?
Just, no. This is actually kind of a perfect example of why, growing up, I just never cared for horror movies. The first ones I got exposed to, you know, around, like, 10 or 11 were... like, you know, the part fives and sixes where it's just totally off the rail.
Maybe that's why I don't like horror movies.
For me, so I'm 35, and just last weekend I saw the first Halloween for the first time.
Oh,
like the
really?
Whole thing.
Wow.
I've seen now, if I had been exposed to that early on,
you might appreciate it more.
Yeah. So what the point of this is, one, really, Yaphet Kotto, abducted by aliens.
Yeah.
And two, all children should be exposed to John Carpenter movies at a young age.
As I was. So.
Yeah.
Vampires.
I think I saw Halloween 2 the first time when I was about 2 years old, by the way.
Really?
I don't remember.
That seems that inappropriate. I will say that.
That's my father.
That seems very Andy Wolf.
Yeah.
So the only Halloween movie I've seen is H2O, so I'm just going to assume it's the worst of the franchise.
No.
More decent.
Actually, a middling one.
Yeah. Halloween 5. Well, if you don't count the Rob Zombie ones, Halloween 5 is the worst one of those.
Yeah, but I mean, the Halloween Resurrection.
That was a brilliant film.
Is pretty well.
Halloween, that is a brilliant film.
Yeah.
I that's a discussion for a different day, but I would debate between 5 and 8. Yeah.
Yeah, they're both right there.
Yeah.
For me, I'm gonna say this is a fun movie to make fun of, but I do kind of like it. And I like it as a product of its time. I think, and maybe that's not a fair standard to judge a movie by, but I think I like it in the time capsule of what it is. And for people who are like, for people who hate this movie because this franchise actually started as like a very scary horror franchise, and they hate this because this became just short of a Saturday morning cartoon. Mm. Yeah, that's a valid feeling, but there's something that's kind of goofy and like
it's fun.
A little silly, harmless fun about this to me, and it moves quickly. This it's not dull, so I don't. That's a backhanded compliment, but this movie never felt like dull to me.
This is true.
So I kind of like it. I don't know. I don't even know that I would say it's so bad it's good. It's just kind of like, oh, I don't know. This is a movie I kind
of
like.
Well, and that's one of my points about the Nightmare on Elm Street movies for me is that it's my favorite series of the at least the 80s horror series because every movie I like.
Yeah.
There's not one that I don't like except the remake, but I don't count that one. But there's none of them that I don't like. Like there's Halloween movies I hate, there's Friday the 13th movies I hate, but with this series I like all of them.
Yeah.
So that's not a fan.
Yeah. There's the proposed spin-off series we have because I have no independent recollection of any Nightmare on Elm Street movies except for the first one and this one. I cannot, my brain does not actually distinguish any of the other ones, so I've been tempted to go through them and kind of rewatch the Chronicles of Fred Krueger. And we should note, by the way, congratulations to our own Cody Wolf. This will be the next time you hear his dulcet tones, he will be a married man.
Indeed.
Yeah.
1 week.
Yeah. So congratulations and... yeah, pretty exciting news. And then we'll be back with more craziness.
Next movie, The Wedding Planner.
Yeah.
Hey, I kind of like that one. Yeah.
We should do
He liked this one, so.
Yeah. We need to do a crazy rom-com.
I feel like rom-coms don't really qualify for this podcast, though, because they're all bad.
We've done a couple.
In
a different way.
They have to be real bad to qualify. Like, it has to...
And a really bad rom-com is hard to get to.
Yeah, they are.
Yes. Yes. If you fail at comedy,
there's only one little bit of heaven, you know, that's...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that one's pretty bad.
Yeah,
I'm still sad I missed that podcast. I saw the movie.
Did you miss that one?
There was something I had... That's the one episode I've ever missed, and it was, like, the best... I don't think I've ever listened to the episode because I was so upset that I missed it.
That's a crazy rom-com. Yeah. Available on stopthemoviepodcast.podbean.com. All right, we'll be back.
Oh, wait, no. A Little Bit of Heaven. Which one is that? Sorry.
That's the Kate Hudson, Peter Dinklage.
I'm thinking the midget Gary Oldman one.
Oh, you're thinking,
Tiptoes.
Yes, that's the other Peter Dinklage
movie. You said Little Bit of Heaven.
Yes, yeah. Tiptoes, yeah. Well, yeah, Tiptoes. All right, we will be back. Unlike Freddy, we will be back. See you next time.